Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, February the 26th. Coming up today, we've got details of a serious crash that closed the A249 overnight. We'll also hear from the Gillingham boss after a loss to Fleetwood Town last night extended their winless run to 13 games. But first, taking a look at our top story today. The family of a Canterbury woman convicted of stealing from the post office almost 30 years ago have launched a bid to clear her name. Pat Owen was given a suspended sentence after being accused of taking £6,000. Her case is one of 21 being reviewed over potential issues with the capture system, which predated the faulty Horizon software. Pat passed away in 2003. Her daughter Juliet says the family have kept what happened secret until now.
From my point of view, and I think that my sister and my dad would probably say the same, is we've kept it bottled up for years. And even with the fight that's been going on, I started this whole process in sort of the end of 2023, I've just gone through a process and ticked boxes and tried to be really unemotional with it all, and obviously now the story's out there, it is a bit emotional now, and I look back on it and I'm thinking, oh right, okay, it is affecting me now, if that makes sense, whereas it hasn't been leading up to this point. It's been, I need to do this and this is what I'm going to do. And I think Dad and Deb are the same. I think all three of us today are thinking, wow, okay, we just need to take a deep breath.
Let's go back a bit to when the drama was on TV, because yes. I think everyone saw that and I sat at home feeling utter rage and I have no connection whatsoever. When you watched that, how did you feel and did you immediately think we need to fight for more justice?
It was odd because I watched the first episode and I couldn't watch any more. I put it on record. It's still on record. It's still at home. You know, I've still got it there. I can go to it any time. And even the documentary they did afterwards about it, that's on record, but I still haven't watched that. My dad and my sister both watched it. And I got texts on New Year's Eve, which is when it went out, from both of them saying we need to restart and we need to really get hold of this. Because more so from Dad. Dad said exactly what happened to Mr. Bates with the post office going in, with the transactions on the computer, is exactly what had happened to Mum. And obviously he was there in the shop with her, in the post office with her. So he saw all that and he said, we need to start the process. We need to clear her name.
Did you know much about what was going on with your mum?
Not at the time. We were very much shielded. I mean, I remember when she went to court for the week, she went into Canterbury Crown Court for the week. I took a week off work and went and manned the shop for her. So I looked after the shop for her and Dad with Deb while they were at court. But we were very much shielded from it. And we were convinced that because she had all this evidence, she had really good solicitors, we were convinced that she would come home and say it's all okay. Obviously, that didn't happen.
And you've spoken about how it affected your mum after, because obviously she came back without the outcome that she wanted. It was a suspended sentence, but she then had that criminal conviction. Yep. How did it change her as a person?
She was never the same again. That was it. She, the week before the post office guys came in, she was painting the ceiling in the dining room of the shop. So they lived in the shop as well as they had the shop and the post office, but they lived there, that was their home. And she was painting that. As I said to before, she used to be able to play the piano by ear. She stopped playing the piano. Her life just stopped. And it was really sad to see. And she lost a lot of weight and she got very, very ill. And she was so proud to be a postmistress. She was so proud. There's one of the pictures that she's got a postmistress. She's got a post office picture that was painted by a local in Canterbury. And she had it hanging over the hearth in the dining room at the shop. She was so proud to be a postmistress, and that just all stopped. I don't think she could quite believe what had happened. I think it was, she was a big one for justice, and I think she felt that everyone had let her down.
You're not the only one who's now come forward after seeing what happened in the ITV drama. There's now a lot. I mean, how confident are you that your mum's name will be cleared?
I've been working, as well as with Hudgels that have been brilliant, I've been working with the CCRC. So when Mr. Bates went out on New Year's Eve, I got in touch with the CCRC, which is the Criminal Commission Review Board, and also Hudgels solicitors. Both of which have been absolutely brilliant. They've really supported what we're doing. They've got completely behind. They've all got mums. They've both got all of mum's paperwork. And we're just waiting for the CCRC to come back to see whether her case is viable to go back to court to get her name cleared.
Kent Online News.
This has been one of our most read stories online today. A shopping centre that's been hit with closures and a neighbouring multi-storey car park are going to be knocked down. Traders at Park Mall in Ashford have been told they need to vacate the site by August 31st. Oliver Leonard is our man on the ground for all things Ashford. I was able to grab him for a quick chat.
The closure hit shopping centre and the neighbouring multi-storey car park are set to be knocked down. And traders in Park Mall have been told that they need to vacate the site by August 31st.
And have council given any reason as to why it's going to be knocked down?
Yes, they have. So they say that Park Mall has been in a state of spiralling decline for several years now and is operating at a significant loss. They say that the move will reduce the council's operating losses on the site and pave the way forward for the onward redevelopment and regeneration of Park Mall.
All right. So it from what I understand, this has sort of been an idea that's been around for a while, but the announcement sort of came out of the blue. Is this sort of a shock decision? Were people expecting it?
Well, traders were expecting something, but I think what they were most shocked by is the fact that they were told that they had to leave in 6 months' time. So there was a meeting last night with Ashford Borough Council, with the tenants. And the thing that they were most shocked by is that they had to be out by August 31st, which has left a lot of them fearing for the future of their businesses, basically.
And have council given any indication of what's going to be on the site? I think they're going to put a car park initially, but any development plans?
Yeah, so it's going to be a temporary car park. This is called an interim period, and they're exploring ideas for what the area could be transformed in the future, but they're waiting to find a developer that's going to take the project forward.
Kent Online News.
Taking a look at another of our most read stories online today, there's been a huge emergency response following a serious crash on the A249. Lucy's been following this story for the podcast. She's got more details.
It's understood three vehicles collided close to the roundabout in Detling at around 10 p.m. last night. The northbound carriageway between the M20 junction near Maidstone and the M2 at Stockbury was shut for 9 hours to allow for accident investigation work to be carried out. At the height of the response, police, paramedics and firefighters were called to the crash. A spokesperson for Kent Fire and Rescue said two fire engines were in attendance, with crews using hydraulic equipment to gain access to one of the vehicles. However, we still don't know how many people have been injured or how serious those injuries are. The carriageway reopened just after 7 this morning.
A people smuggler who crammed 9 asylum seekers, including a 4-year-old child, into the back of a van has been jailed. Border Force officers stopped the Romanian national's vehicle at the port of Dover last November. The group didn't have any food, water or ventilation. He's been locked up for 4 years. A woman's been taken to hospital after being found injured on a Kent railway line. Emergency crews were called to Borough Green and Rootham Station yesterday afternoon. Trains were stopped from using the line. A man's been charged after 13 firearms and 300 rounds of ammunition were seized from a vehicle at the port of Dover. Border Force officers also discovered 5 kilos of heroin hidden in a footwell compartment on Monday. The SUV was coming into the UK from France. A 39-year-old from Bristol has appeared in court. Two robbers who tortured a man in his Maidstone home have been jailed for a total of more than 20 years. They initially knocked on the victim's door last June and asked to borrow some milk. Audio from a police body cam revealed what happened next.
Yeah, essentially the victim is stating that the two suspects have come round asking for some milk. They then forced their way in demanding money. Essentially had a bottle of vodka with them, which they've used to smack the victim over the head so far. He's got multiple lacerations on his head.
You can also hear the moment one of the suspects was arrested nearby.
Mate, stay there.
Frankie, mate.
Stay there. Why have you got blood on you?
Stay there.
Just put your hands out now. Put your hands out. Show me your hand.
You've had contact, haven't you, with the RP?
37-year-old Beda Mohammed from Barking and Lewis Rowley, who's 25, were found guilty following a trial.
Kent Online News.
A young woman from Thanet says a cruel disease, which has left her allergic to herself, is robbing her of her life. The undiagnosed chronic illness causes Beth Sangarides to suffer weeping skin and anaphylactic shock and can be triggered by anything from pollen to her own emotions. The 21-year-old from Birchington has waited 6 years for an appointment with an immunologist and is desperate for help in treating her symptoms. symptoms, I was able to speak to her about what it's like to live with the condition.
So every doctor that I've seen has pretty much told me that my health is very complex and there isn't a definitive answer for why this has happened or what it could be. Obviously, I have many diagnoses that are answerable and there's reasons behind them. But my skin and my severe allergies are just something that has puzzled every single doctor we have been to. We have seen dermatologists, we have seen allergy clinics, we have seen everyone we possibly can, and they have all just been shocked at the severity of it and not found a definitive reason for why it's happening.
When you spoken to doctors, who sort of first floated the idea that you could be allergic to yourself, that it could be your body reacting to itself?
So when MCAS was first mentioned, which is mast cell activation syndrome, it's a condition that basically affects your mast cells in your blood. And for normal MCAS patients, that can come out in their skin like a regular skin rash, and it can come out in allergies and be very sensitive to everything. However, the level of sensitive that I am has left me living my life in a bubble. So doctors weren't very sure that MCAS diagnosis fit in the criteria for it because it was too extreme, and they just didn't know how to put me into a box that said, yes, this is it, because it didn't make sense why my skin would literally burn open to the severity it did.
It is weeping. It's sores on your face as well. And then it's anaphylactic shock. Is that right? That is another symptom.
Yes. So when it first started, it was basically just my skin. My skin would burn open and eventually it spread across my whole body. But thankfully now it does stick to my face and chest area. But as soon as the skin kind of started was when I had to stop using products. My mum couldn't use cleaning products around the house. We couldn't use air fresheners. We couldn't use certain washing materials. And then eventually that led to foods. I would start being extremely sensitive to my mum cooking. And then one day someone opened a bag of chili crisps around me, and that was the first anaphylaxis that I went through. And from that point to now, I now have a long list of food allergies that most of them I am thankful that are just allergic reactions on my face and my skin flares up. But to the severity of them, because they are airborne, I'm unable to leave the house most days because all it takes is me walking past a restaurant and boom, I'll be in anaphylaxis.
And tell me a little bit about your day-to-day. I know that you're using a wheelchair if you're going to be doing something particularly strenuous, and your partner has become your carer. What does your day-to-day look like?
My day-to-day life is pretty much the same every day. I pretty much get up. The main probably activities that I do each day is looking after my cats. I have 3 cats, so I take care of them. I will obviously start the day doing medications. Throughout the day, I'll have to do more medications, flushing my tubes, taking care of my skin. And if I get to do anything else, it's usually art-based. I love, you know, making content on social media. I like colouring and things like that. And I like cooking for my partner as well.
And where are we at now with appointments? I know that you've been waiting quite a long time to see an immunologist. Is that what it's called? So you've been waiting for quite a long time for that. Have you had that appointment? Is it coming up?
So immunology, I had seen in London, and I had seen allergy clinics in London who had all said that they wished that there was an immunologist in Kent to see me, because they had gone through all their options that they possibly could for me. So when I was in hospital last year, an immunologist came down from Birmingham and saw me while I was in hospital and said that she would take me on in her clinic that she was opening up in Kent. Now, when that was in August last year, and she was said that it would be opening up in the new year, and unfortunately, even though I'd contacted Powers, contacted everyone, we'd contacted that doctor specifically many times, we hadn't heard anything. So I took it to social media and I explained my worries and that I hadn't heard anything, and thankfully me doing that, not that I should have had to do that, but I finally heard from them and they offered me an appointment in a couple of weeks.
She's been sharing snippets of her experiences on social media in the hopes of raising awareness. The MP for Ashford is backing calls for safety improvements to a road bridge on the M20 following the death of a young woman. Sojan Joseph says he's in full support of raising the height of the barriers to bring the bridge in line with modern standards. It's after a 25-year-old charity volunteer fell to her death last month. A Maidstone man has been banned from keeping animals for 5 years after 2 of his horses were found severely underweight and riddled with worms and lice. A court heard Alfie Doyle failed to take them to a vet and had been keeping the mares on land unsuitable for grazing. The 34-year-old, who lives in Hampstead Lane in Nettlestead, received a 12-month suspended jail sentence, must complete unpaid work and rehab and pay more than £550. New figures show more than 70 cases of fly tipping were recorded every day in Kent last year. A total of 26,000 incidents of illegally dumped rubbish were dealt with by local councils in the 12 months to April. Medway had the highest number, followed by Canterbury. Tunbridge Wells was the lowest. Campaigners are due to tell us later about alternatives to the Lower Thames Crossing they claim will be smarter and cheaper. The government's looking at how private funding could be used to pay for the road link between Kent and Essex. Transport Action Network don't agree with the route and say it'll generate more traffic and harmful emissions.
Kent Online News.
A Kent woman who went missing more than 50 times as a teenager says it's important youngsters get the right support when they're found. Jade Knight's been speaking as figures given to the podcast show more than 3,600 12 to 17-year-olds disappeared last year. Over the last 3 years, 7 in 10 missing persons are under 18. Jade, who's originally from Herne Bay, now works with the Missing People charity to help others.
There's no handbook of how parents and carers should feel when a child goes missing. It is the most overwhelming feeling from speaking from my own experiences with my family, my friends. It's pure fear. Imagine you're somebody you care about is now missing. That is fear. I think it's so easy when they walk back in that door, hopefully safe and sound, to go at them. Because it's not really anger, it's love and it's care. And although that's everyone's natural reaction, it doesn't necessarily help our young people. They're probably feeling guilty, annoyed at themselves, upset, frustrated maybe they've been located. There's a lot of emotions on top of the reasons why they went. And also, we don't really know what's happened to these young people. So if they have been involved in county lines and they walk in and they try and say something and you go at them, they're going to withdraw. They're not going to want to do that. They're not going to want to talk to you about it. And then we've missed another safeguarding opportunity. So it's, as hard as it is, my tips would be to stay calm. I like lead with like open-ended questions. Yes, no answers aren't always helpful. Don't push for the information straight away. If you have suspicion that there's something going on, you will get that information, but we need to get it in a safe way. Because if you have another full-blown argument, they're probably going to go again. And now they're at risk. It's really difficult, and I salute all parents and carers for this. But staying calm, asking good questions, reassuring them that this is not their fault, and it's also not your fault as that parent and carer. It's not your fault either. It's awful, but there is really no benefit in you blaming yourself. This can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what race you are, what language you speak, or kind of where you live in Kent, what school you go to, if you're suffering with mental health or not. This can happen to anyone. And it's just, it is rubbish. But if we're looking for these signs early enough, we can try and stop this before it progresses.
A grocery shop in Tunbridge High Street has improved its food hygiene rating after previously being given 0 stars. Inspectors had found rotting food and an unidentified mouldy object in the chiller at Organic Village Market in December. However, after a follow-up visit last month, it's been re-rated 3 out of 5 stars. There are new plans to redevelop a derelict hotel near Canterbury that's been abandoned for 20 years. The Garden Hotel at Boughton is Grade 2 listed but has been closed since 2005, and residents say it's become an eyesore. An application has been submitted to restore the historic building and build 19 new houses. Again, rescue centres hoping to find a home for a dog that's been waiting for more than 4 years. Labrador Cross Wilson came into a Dogs Trust site in Devon when he was 10 months old and is now living at the charity's Canterbury branch. We've shared his picture at Kent Online. And a husband and wife team are fulfilling their dream of opening their own Mexican restaurant in Tunbridge Wells Town Centre. Mexcellent has opened in Camden Road. Daniel and Amelia Gallegos Jimenez have been running a successful food trailer and have built up a reputation for delicious food. Daniel says they've poured their heart into getting everything ready. He's been chatting to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
The whole idea about opening the Mexican restaurant, I think, is there is a big gap in Tunbridge Wells to bring a different culture, introducing ourselves with our food. And it's missing a Mexican restaurant here, and bring all the flavors and a bit of the experience of what we have in Mexico. This is mainly my idea of opening now.
And how long have you had this idea or this dream of opening something like this?
Well, this idea has been for a while, it's been 10 years. It has been taking long time to come through. all this, that's COVID, and it was difficult to find a venue that would suit for me to start. And I think this is a right place to be in this part of the town. It's perfect. It's a small place and thing manageable. And that it will be just between me and my wife, and it's a small family business.
And what has the reaction from the community been when you announced that you were opening?
We are really surprised. We are really overwhelmed about all the response of the community. It's been amazing. All the comments on the media, and it makes us feel that we have a space here in to grow as a business and do well. So that's, we're expecting to give the best of what we have for the community and show what Mexico is.
They launched yesterday with Taco Tuesday.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham suffered a disappointing defeat to Fleetwood Town. They lost 2-1 after scoring first at Priestfield last night. Manager John Coleman says it's a frustrating result.
Well, losing at home is never acceptable. You know, I feel sorry for the fans. I apologise to the fans, but, you know, it'll fall on deaf ears. You know, I know what it feels like to be a fan. It'll fall on deaf ears. You know, the boos are there at the end. A little bit hurtful when, you know, the fans singing, you know, mocking us that we've scored a goal, our own fans. That's a little bit sad to hear. But we killed ourselves. When we took the lead, you could see the fear in us. You could see the fear in that we haven't won for ages. I don't know what I've got to do to get a win, because the amount of opportunities we've had to win games in the last month is off the graph. So I've got to take responsibility, and maybe that's with my substitutions. You know, I thought we were on top when I made the substitutions, and it weakened us, and not the players who came up. I just think that the substitutions themselves weakened us in the fact that we lost our momentum. We didn't get out enough. We left a lot of space in midfield and we got picked off. And they were able to run the clock down. Between 75 and 85, they had the lion's share of the ball, and they were making the chances, which is, you know, we're desperate for a win at home. So I've got to take the responsibility for that. I've got to take the blame for that. That's no disrespect to the players who come on, far from it. You know, we went with a very attacking team tonight. I was desperate for us to take the lead. We did, with a great goal by Nev. And we only had to get into half time. You know, they had a couple of shots blocked. We sat off them. We let them have the ball. Our clearances weren't positive enough. And we looked weak minded, to be fair. And that goes without when you haven't won for ages. And we looked scared to win.
Captain Armani Little also spoke to reporters after the match.
The first half, we completely dominated the game. I think we played really well, created a few chances, got the goal, went 1-0 up, and then we were a bit sloppy for the last 5 minutes of the half probably, and then they've got back into the game, so we've gone in 1-1 when really the game could have been dead and buried then. But yeah, we've come out second half, they've scored straight away, and I think we haven't gone in our shells. We've reacted really well. We had still created chances. We had one off the line, hit the crossbar. So I still think there's a lot of positives. Don't get me wrong, it's not good enough. We've lost at home again. But we just have to keep going. That's all we can do.
Yeah, it must be so frustrating for us, because we worked so hard to get ourselves in front, and I think the lead lasted just 4 or 5 minutes. Their keeper's pulled off two magnificent saves with the bar again, hasn't crossed the line. But I guess you've got to keep going and maintain that belief.
Yeah, I think when you're on these run of forms, the luck tends to go against you, and I think we have to change that, whether it's mentality as a club, everyone, players, fans, coaches, everyone. We've got to be in this together, so it's only us that can change it on the pitch, but we need the full backing. And I know it's going to be tough and easy to say that, but because of the run we're on, but we still have to keep going. We've still got a lot of games to play this season.
Yeah, I know you've got to share the frustration of the fans, because you're winners yourself. But you'll need it behind you on Saturday, won't you? It's a big game now against Morecambe.
Yeah, of course, it's must win now on Saturday. We need everyone behind us. It's got to be like a fresh start. Well, I don't want to say fresh start, but it's got to be just come with a positive mentality. We will. So let's get the 3 points.
The Jills have now gone 13 games without a win and are 19th in the League Two table. Staying with football, and Kent's Alessia Russo will be hoping for another goal for England in the Nations League tonight. She scored in their 1-1 draw with Portugal on Friday night. The Lionesses kick off against Spain at Wembley at 8. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.